Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now locates Barkley out of the backfield. Barkley slips two tackles and picks up the first down. Jumping up in the air to the 30. A gain of 14 for Barkley with some nifty moves along the way.
Announcer on CBS did not realize what he just saw. With the reverse hurdle from Saquon, Eagles and Commanders win. We have a change. We have to audible here. Like Cooper Rush will be doing against the Eagles. With breaking news here on 105.3 The Fan on the Cowboys. Monday, Kevin Hagelin with the slow look over. Breaking news on The Fan is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. A head coach has been fired. Dennis Allen.
Uh-oh.
Kevin was holding his breath. He thought I was going to say MM. He thought I was maybe going to go to MM here over at the Ford Center, the Star in Frisco. Dennis Allen is out in New Orleans. Of course, the Raiders yesterday, Choppy, they fired their offensive coordinator and two other coaches. So some owners are losing patience around the National Football League.
Man, it should be all things pointing up for the Raiders here after you fire your OC. That'll fix all the things.
Yeah, right.
This is good news, though, with Dennis Allen. It's one less visor that we have in the National Football League. It's fantastic.
I was wondering why you were clapping.
We have to rid the sports world of visor guy. From Kirby Smart to Lane Kiffin to Sean Payton and Dennis Allen.
Who's the next? You have a visor in your sights?
Lincoln Riley.
Man, and I know that every network and all the TV shows do whatever they can to desperately connect the Cowboys to anything. But, Bobby, there's no way to avoid this one, right?
As a head coach, no. Dennis Allen's a good defensive coach. If people have figured out Dennis Allen's a defensive coordinator only, I wouldn't just, if you're resetting things, be opposed to that. Also,
I'm not talking about Dennis Allen over here. I'm talking about the connection of Dennis Allen's last win was over us 44-19. How dead wrong all of us were about the Saints and thinking what they were going to be, even though Derek Carr did get hurt. But this is the Saints saying, if you lose to the Carolina Panthers, you're done. You cannot work for us anymore. Cam Jordan did something after the game yesterday and tweeted that I've never seen another player do. He wrote this exactly. We just lost to the Panthers. I love y'all, New Orleans. Truly had higher expectations and the best of hopes for us. Y'all deserve it. But he basically came out and embarrassed the Panthers by saying, y'all, we just did the unthinkable. We lost to the Carolina Panthers. We apologize.
That's a team they beat the snot out of in week one. They felt like they had them.
Versus Kevontae Turpin. And all the Cowboys, they give the middle finger to y'all when they lose and get embarrassed. Here's Cam Jordan off the Saints apologizing, taking accountability. The Cowboys are like, no, you're stupid.
By the way, you say surely the media won't make the connection. I don't know if the media will. The league is already, because right after Peyton tells us he gets fired, I got a text from an agent that said, LOL, Dennis Allen gets fired before the coach he beat by 40. So That's where people are at within the league. But I do hate this for Dennis Allen, local guy, LD Bell alum. He went to high school here in Hearst. So I always hate when the DFW failures hit, unless they're Mike McCarthy's failures, and we reset things there.
Okay. And there was a lot of Saints drama playing out yesterday with Michael Thomas and Derek Carr.
Yeah. So obviously Derek Carr and Michael Thomas, it doesn't appear that they get along very well. There was a series of tweets that Michael Thomas decided to rip off in succession about Derek Carr.
Now, it helps if you watch the video of this. This is Derek Carr. People, I guess RG3 and others call it hospital throws.
Yeah.
Derek Carr threw one like high and behind to Chris Olave, and Olave got lit up, and it was a bad scene, had to get taken off the field. And I think someone said it was the fifth concussion for Olave. Is this like a Tua situation at receiver? Does he have that many concussions? And this young stud is just coming out of college from Ohio State. He's a beast. But Michael Thomas blamed Derek Carr for getting Olave hurt.
Yeah, so like I'll just read off a series of the tweets. They fired all them coaches trying to cover his flaws. He's still doing the same S. Dude tried to lie and say I was jealous of them making Chris wide receiver one whole time. He can't even get him a decent ball. He needs his butt whooped. That year, his buddy went first-team All-Pro in 2022. Talk about Devontae.
Oh!
He needed 180 targets to catch 100 passes. He is ass on my granny.
Dang!
Dude, scary and panic and just throw the ball. Get him the blank out. He is so ass. That's all from Michael Thomas, who is...
He has attitude oozing out of his pores.
Yeah, yeah, he
always has.
What he doesn't realize is he is LaRon Robinson from Drew Brees. Okay, Tony Romo made LaRon Robinson, and Drew Brees made Mr. Possession Receiver Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I mean the very definition of a possession receiver. He came from a pretty cocky group there though when he was at his college days, because it was Michael Thomas. It was Zeke and it was Cardell Jones. Mm-hmm. It was Braxton Miller, Gerrion Conley. They
had Lattimore on that team too.
No, he wasn't on that one. Gerrion Conley, Eli Apple, that was a loud Ohio State team. And yeah, this doesn't surprise me that he's this way. This is one of the reasons he can't find a job very easily, is that people view him as your cancer. Because league wide opinion yesterday was not Derek Carr's fault. That was Xavier Woods, who routinely here in Dallas used to get criticism from the coaching staff where you need to play under control. You're going to get teammates hurt in practice. You're playing way too wild. And even in the games, you're playing way too wild. He once gave David Irving a concussion on like a play where he was playing out of control and had made a hit.
They're saying that Woods' hit was improper?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of people think Xavier Woods plays way too out of control.
Yeah, Derek, I mean, the ball was up.
It was high.
There's no doubt. Now, I guess that's where the ball's supposed to go, according to Derek, but whatever.
Well, he said that that's where the ball was supposed to go?
It was supposed to go high. It was supposed to be a throw that was up. Not that high.
By the way, this note from...
Then that's not where the ball was supposed to go.
This note from David Newton over to ESPN. Xavier Woods has 9 unnecessary roughness penalties since 2017. That is the most in the NFL.
Derek Carr was asked to comment on Michael Thomas's tweets after.
I have love for Mike, and when he does that, I don't really care for it, obviously. You know, I've had so many teammates over the years, and he's like the one dude that didn't get along with me, you know. And I don't know what I did to him. I don't know why he feels that way. I'm sorry, you know, for whatever he's dealing with to make him feel like he's got to do that. I don't know, you know. But he's never called me during any of this, you know. My phone number has never changed. I've in fact called him on different occasions.
So that's Derek Carr, Michael Thomas, and Dennis Allen is gone. Jordan Schultz reports teams are calling the Saints about Marshawn Lattimore, and the Commanders are searching for secondary and corner help. So losing to Carolina, got you gone. See you later. 877-881-1053 is the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line. I'm like, do we go around the NFL or get to these big stories in Philadelphia? I want to dedicate a lot of time to these because these are amazing topics. Let's knock out the rest of the NFC East then. Philadelphia, Saquon with the reverse hurdle, and they pretty much controlled. Jacksonville made this game closer, but the Eagles pretty much controlled the Jags. So Filthy improves to 6-2, and the Commanders, they take care of the Giants. So the NFC East looks like this. Commanders 7-2. Eagles 6-2, Cowboys 3-5, and Daniel Jones finally threw a touchdown pass at home. They are 2-7.
Oh, man, they're so bad.
The Eagles score, by the way, on a 3rd-and-17 Saquon run. A 3rd-and-17 quick handoff Saquon run against Jacksonville.
Hell of a design, Kellen. Hell of a design.
Hell of a design. The fact that the Giants are in the division is the only thing that is saving this team from just bottoming out. because they're not going to fall behind the Giants. I don't see a simple way of that. But it's right now, there is no chance. There is no chance they come back in this thing.
A.J. Brown had to leave this game, too, with a bruised knee at one point. So he's apparently fine. All the reports afterwards were that he's fine. But, I mean, that's been the biggest issue for Philly is just consistently getting everybody on offense.
Two more running back stings for Jerry Jones. Yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens, we were trying to figure out last week, is Denver's defense legit? Or are they facing scrubs? Well, yesterday, they got exposed because Lamar and the Ravens went off with a straight beatdown. And in the process, Derrick Henry goes over 1,000 yards on the season. He scores again.
Is it not like week 9?
And Tony Pollard, with the Titans' win against the Patriots, leads the league in yards after contact? What? So Tony Pollard and Derrick Henry in the headlines yesterday.
Yeah, and if you go ahead and just let's take a look at the AFC. Obviously, NFL is a little different, but you go look at the AFC and just see who are the two top leading rushers in the AFC. Why, that would be Derrick Henry and the guy you let walk out the door, Tony Pollard. So Tony Pollard is also the second leading rusher in the AFC overall behind Derrick Henry. So
to be fair, did any of us want them to re-sign him?
Who?
Pollard?
Yeah.
Nope. We're 0-2 on those running back takes, Henry and Pollard. 0-2.
I didn't want them to re-sign Pollard, but again, it's the comparison of, yeah, but if you're gonna sign Zeke, you might as well look at these 8 other things, and I would accept that quicker than I would accept even $2 million more on the books for Zeke. But overall, I mean, Pollard's been good. Yesterday was his biggest breakout game, but I went back and I was watching some of his tape a couple weeks ago because people were talking about Pollard. It still looks like Pollard to me. Like I think he's played well. He's putting up numbers. They're giving him a lot of volume. But to me, it still looks like the Tony Pollard we saw last year. I don't see a totally different player right now.
Two ejections yesterday. Brian Branch, Lions versus Packers, and then Puka Nacua in the Rams win, a walk-off win over Seattle. I thought the Puka one was much worse for the referee to toss him out over than the Branch one. But the Branch one got people, including Tom Brady, kind of upset and ticked off. So Branch and Nacua ejected.
The thing with Branch is, like, what I struggle with is that the hit wasn't vicious enough. And I know it's results-oriented, and I hate to do that. But that wasn't a vicious hit. Like, he wasn't just down on the ground, not moving. He got right up. It looked like he was not even in pain at all. Got right up. So it's like, does the effect intent of the hit and the intent, is that enough? And obviously the NFL views it enough. And look, they're erring on the side of caution. I don't have a problem with that. I just didn't feel like that was egregious enough to throw somebody out of the game.
But I get it, especially with the emphasis they put on, like it's a direct helmet.
There was enough
collision.
Time too. Like,
oh, it was like 3 steps.
It was not a bang bang. Yeah, it was 3 steps. And the helmet, like, I understood it.
Yeah, it's one of those where,
to me, it should not be, is the guy laying on the ground motionless or did he get up? It's the intent of what the defender's doing.
Yeah, and I think for the NFL, they just feel like,
and Tom Brady, shut up. Just shut the hell up in terms of, oh, there's a bunch of wusses out here, and hey, I don't agree with this and that. Defense gets screwed. They created a rule for you. I like that you've improved as a broadcaster. You have. Just shut up.
Yeah, With the helmet-to-helmet thing, I think a lot of players have, as much as they hate it, they have...
Giselle got knocked up elsewhere.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez. They have resigned themselves a little bit to the fact a lot of players have just like, I know when it happens, I'm in trouble. And even if it's not on purpose, I think they've kind of just accepted the fact of, well, those are the breaks. That's what's going to happen if it occurs, and even if my intent wasn't there, I'm going to have to pay the price. And so I think they've kind of come to an acceptance with that across the league.
An ugly loss for the Bears against the Cardinals, but Jay Glazer reported Tyreek Stevenson... he's the commander waiver to the crowd, and he was supposed to be defending better than he was in the Hail Mary against Jaden Daniels. Tyreek Stevenson was told at practice, you're being demoted, you're taken out of the starting lineup. Well, instead of just shutting his mouth, putting his head down and accepting it, did not go over well with him pulling himself out of practice. Demoted, you're not starting? He's like, fine, I'm not practicing. I'm up out of here. And Jay Glazer said that did not go over well. Bears get smoked by the Cardinals.
Oh, that's a bad loss for them too. Like they've been competitive. They've been competitive even the game last week. I mean, they easily could have and should have won that game against Washington, and then to get just smoked like that, Eberflus might be next.
Let's talk about the entire mess here. After another loss, this time in Atlanta, Nick Eatman is back from the locker room at the ATL. Nick joins us from DallasCowboys.com. How long are Dak and Lamb out? He's next on The Fan.
And it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org and also brought to you by the personal injury lawyers, Frankel and Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first, 214-817-333-3333 with Frankel. Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel, Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
Fourth and three. Cowboys used the timeout. Cousins with a change in something. Blitz. Throw it to the right side, and the coverage was broken, and Mooney caught it at the 15 and literally strolls into the end zone for a 36-yard touchdown.
Brad Sham with the call that made it 14-3. I believe that was the Trayvon Diggs wheel route as Diggs was in coverage for both of Kirk Cousins' first touchdown passes. Cowboys lose on this radio station. Sean, RJ, and Bobby on a Cowboys Monday here on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to be joined by Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com. First, Mike McCarthy after the loss.
Well, I mean, we just really got to keep the focus narrow, and I felt like we were doing that coming into this game. We need to win a game. I mean, you know, I know what everybody wants to talk about, you know, long term. We have five losses, you know, so I clearly understand where that puts us, you know, as far as what it will take. But, you know, we got to get to winning. You know, we're making too many self-inflicted wounds, and the disappointing part about it is, you know, some are repeated. The pre-snap penalties are totally unacceptable. You know, we came in here, you know, wanted to go no huddle or up tempo, you know, turbo on the ball type things. And you've seen the first series, it was effective. And then I wish we'd have got more to it, but the only thing that really slowed us down was ourselves today.
Nick Eatman joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline from DallasCowboys.com. We managed to get four different answers to this question. Your number one head scratching moment of the game yesterday was what?
The fact that they keep, you know, like.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
McCarthy just said, I think that they just keep hurting themselves and you know, shooting themselves in the foot. It's the preparation. You know, the preparation just hasn't been there all year long. And so that's been the major problem for this team. They don't score early in the games, and they, you know, we know they're going to fight back. I mean, that's great. They do fight back, but they're just getting down too early in these games. And it's just, to me, it's a preparation of just not being, I don't know about being ready to play, but not ready to execute at the highest level.
Your headline on the website is Cowboys again fail to land first punch. Take us inside the piece.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, not that I've been in too many fights in my life, but I would imagine, you know, if whoever hits first probably has the better chance here, especially on a big shot. And that's what happened. I mean, the Falcons did it again, just like some of the other teams. I mean, yeah, I think the Cowboys got a field goal. That's not what I call a big hit. They just can't sustain anything early in the games. They're not coming out. Doesn't matter if they take the ball or not. Teams aren't. I mean, the Cowboys are not getting the ball, going down the field, scoring, and kind of playing downhill. They're always playing uphill. So I think that's just been a big problem all year long, and it happened again Sunday.
Nick, you know, they've got five losses now. The first four of the season, I felt like they all had a different energy about them in terms of the tone from the players afterwards, where sometimes it was anger, other times it was, you know, upbeat and positive, and we still got it. This was the first loss of the season where I felt like it was almost a collective heavy sigh, and they seem about at their wit's end. Did you get the sense there post-game that, man, this was a game that really took a toll on just morale for them?
Not really. No, I didn't take that. I think if you're talking about Dak did look that way a little bit. Like, I mean, he was – And I think he's a little bit worried about what's going to happen, if he's going to be able to play next week. Anytime you get pulled from the game, you know, that early, and I know it was in the fourth quarter, but to the point of, all right, you know, you can't come back, you wonder how long that's going to be. So I could see it from him, but not really from some of the other players. I don't know. Maybe it was just like, were you there with Jerry? I mean, Jerry made it sound like, I mean, they got a lot of season left and they're going to keep fighting and they're going to actually build on it and all this kind of stuff. But from the player standpoint, I think the players were appreciative of what Jerry said, but I didn't get the sense of that much, maybe from Dak, but maybe not the rest of the guys.
Nick Eatman, join us here, 105 through the Fan. So, yeah, maybe the morale may not be where, you know, Bobby thinks it is. Obviously, you're saying that, but does it not seem when they have so many procedure penalties and stuff that that is just them tuning out during the week and they're just basically not doing what they should be?
I think you could say that. I mean, I've said it several times that, you know, you lose during the week, and I think that this is what's happening with this team a lot. And also, you know, they're not all young players. I mean, some of them are young players, and when you're thinking a lot, you know, you're doing a lot of thinking. You're not reacting like you should. And I think that, you know, you see that some, but I mean, it's just one thing after another. And, you know, and it's 12 men in the huddle here, or false start, or illegal procedure, or just whatever it is, you know, missing blocks. I mean, and it's not just Tyler Guyton. I mean, Tyler Guyton is definitely struggling, but if you look, Tyler Smith had a couple of mishaps in the game, and we know Zach Martin has as well. So those are the guys they've been counting on, and when it's the entire offensive line, you know, it's just when you can't get the line, you know, blocking, the running game's not there. Obviously, Dak and Cooper Rush, whoever's running for their life. So, you know, I definitely think it starts with the line, but the preparation, like you said, RJ, it is something that has just not been good all year long for this team.
Nick Eatman joining us, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. What are you feeling about these Dak and Lamb timelines?
I honestly know that there's MRIs, and so I don't honestly have – I don't know what would be. It always feels like when a guy comes back in the game that he, you know, he should be fine for the next game. Maybe not fine, because – you're obviously dealing with a lot of, with some pain, but you know, it's encouraging the way he CD played through it. But you know, they're still going to be smart with it. If it doesn't make sense to him to go out and play with a shoulder injury, I'm sure he wouldn't. But I would think it would be close to playing this week, and you know, if maybe just miss one if he had to. Dak, it'll just have to turn. You know, it'll come down to the MRI. And again, I don't know that, but you know, if there's something significant there, then it could be a few weeks.
Would you start Rush or Lance if Dak can't go this week?
No, Cooper. Cooper, I start Cooper Rush for sure. Now, I'll say this. If you want to get some element of running in there, let's say Dak doesn't play, then I do think I could see a scenario of maybe two quarterbacks playing at certain times in the game. You know, I don't think they're ever going to take Dak off the field for Trey Lance or whatever, but if you get into goal line situations, plays like that, I would be fine. If say, you know, Cooper Rush is your guy, you want him to you know, drive the bus, manage the game, all that good stuff. I could see, you know, packages where you would maybe, you know, play Trey Lance in that scenario. If that happens, again, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I would definitely start Rush, but I wouldn't be opposed to playing the second quarterback there if he had to at certain times.
Nick, what happened with Ezekiel Elliott?
I think, wow, Bobby, you guys have been on the air for 3 hours. Why are you throwing it to me? You know, no, I'm just kidding. I just think it's a combination of things that you know, there's been reports out there of missed meetings and things like that. And you asked some people about it, and I did. I asked several people, and I kind of got different smirks and looks and, you know, shut up, Nick, that kind of stuff. But I do think, you know, it was just a combination of not handling things the right way, not liking the role that he was in at the time, and you know, probably and definitely didn't like the fact that he wasn't going to play. So I just think the Cowboys, you know, said for him, for us, for everybody, let's not, you know, have him travel. And, you know, and that's a pretty significant thing when you think about what they do with the travel. They have 17 guys on the practice squad and everyone travels. And so, and you can't, after Saturday afternoon, nobody can be elevated. So you're not taking these players in case something happens, somebody gets sick or whatever. You're taking them for the camaraderie of everything. So to not have the player there is a significant thing, I think, from what the Cowboys are doing and trying to do, and that's what they decided it was in his best interest and the team's best interest for him not to go.
Does he get more than one carry the rest of the year?
I think so. But I'm very hesitant. I mean, ask me on Wednesday, honestly. I mean, I would think, you know, I think we'll just see how things go and if he's still going to be a part of this thing. I think he is. That's what it sounded like, that, you know, Jerry still was raving about him being a great teammate. May just be a one-time thing. We'll see. Because here's the thing. I mean, we all wanted to see it. Dalvin Cook. Let's see what Dalvin Cook can do. And I think the knock on him was, does he know the plays? Does he know the protections? Does he know where he needs to be? Sure, he can run the ball, but is he a good, you know, is he going to be good when he's there? And you can make the case he caused them two penalties, not just the 12 men in the huddle, but there was another play on the delay of game that Dak had to move him three different times around and trying to get him in the right spot, and before you know it, they couldn't snap it. So I'm just saying that's been a part of it, and that's been a reason why he hasn't been playing, is because I don't know how much he understands all of the stuff and all of the protections and everything about it, which Zeke does. So, you know, Rico and Zeke might just be your better 1-2 punch at this point.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Every Cowboys Monday here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. A viral video of Dak appearing to say, "We blanking suck." You have a problem with it? Your reaction to it? Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. Was that what he was mouthing after like a false start by Ferguson? I mean, like I know that he mouthed something after that, and yeah. But I didn't know if that's what it was.
I can't remember the exact specific play.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with that phrase. And that, I mean, people say that all the time. You say that about your team, and I don't have a problem with that. And because, you know, at that particular time, I don't know what part it was, but maybe they did. You know, I mean, maybe, I mean.
Well, 27-13 with 4 minutes left in the fourth.
Oh, so okay, so from the sideline. So this is him not playing.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's not as good. But again, if that's how he feels, that's how he feels. Does that mean that he, you know, I mean, because the fans, the players, you know, I mean, the media, the critics, I'm sure people are saying that same thing too. So, you know, if that's how he feels in the moment, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. No one's going to work harder. No one's going to try to get out on the field more than that. But I think from being a 3-5 football team, a 12-5 3 years in a row, and to be sitting here at 3-5 and have all the mistakes and to lose to an Atlanta team that's really not that great, but, you know, and you had chances to win, but you know, think about this. The Cowboys have made these teams play their best football, and that's what I think alarming. Obviously, the Saints have played out of their mind against the Cowboys, and they're not very good. And some of these other teams, 49ers played their best ball. The Lions, I think, played their best. I mean, maybe even the Falcons. That's a credit, or not a credit, but discredit to the Cowboys, the fact that these other teams are playing their best football against them.
Nick, put these in order of most to least likely happening tomorrow for the trade deadline. Buy, sell, stay.
I would say I would put sell at the end.
Okay.
Don't see them doing that. I would say, just based off of what we've seen, I would say stay, buy, sell. And the only reason I would be a little hesitant is I was standing two feet from Jerry when he made the statement of, you know, we're going to do a couple of things, and I asked him to clarify, and he said yes, you know, if it works, it takes two, but if it works, I mean, so they do have some things in the works. So, you know, now how much are you buying? I don't know, and that's the key word. I'm fine with buying. I'm not fine with renting. I don't think the Cowboys should rent players for this season if they're not going to be somewhat of in the plans for the next couple of years.
Good stuff.
Because the draft pick that you're going to give up obviously is more than 1 year. So I'm just saying, you're going to get someone, better be somebody that can help you for this year, next, and maybe after that.
Thank you, brother. We apologize for Bobby's questioning. Appreciate it.
No, it's all good. See you guys.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Let's cross talk with the KMC Masterpiece right after this.
And it's back to Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan segment here, brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine is the number one Chevy dealer in the world. More Silverados than anyone else. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023.
False start. Wow. This team cannot stay out of its own way.
False start. Offense number 73. That's a 5-yard penalty.
Tyler Smith, if you see the Cowboys walking down the street, hope they're wearing loafers. Because if they're wearing lace-up shoes, they're going to trip over the shoelace.
Damn. I know.
I like it.
Brad Sham with a call on this radio station. It is Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Corey Majors. I like that black shirt right there. What's coming up?
Thank you very much, Sean. We do have Stephen Jones joining us today at noon.
Nothing else?
And? Hi, guys. We didn't execute.
Last week, Mike, you thought that his approach was not real?
Yeah, I think that he knows how to play the game.
Yeah.
It's fine. Nuts. Like, it's part of the job. Play the game. Like, this is the most miserable thing ever. Yeah, we didn't execute. We just have to play better. We're gonna
That's not
be
what
better.
I just said.
Oh, wow.
They pay the other team to...
I was worried, Kevin, about misleading final scores, giving them an excuse.
Okay.
But now I'm really, really worried about the injuries being their 2024 recap.
Just injuries in general, or do you think now specifically the injury to Dak puts it over the top?
With Dak and Lamb.
Yeah.
I'm worried about that.
I mean, they were, like, Dak stays in that game. They're still losing that game. I don't think anyone, I would hope, is going to dispute that.
Didn't Cooper Rush play like Dak? He did really good as the game was out of hand. He went down the field and threw some great passes and scored a touchdown. Like, that felt like Dak would have done that.
I think Brada said 2 passes over 10 yards for Dak attempted. What did you get in terms of the air yardage?
Oh, yeah. The air yards in the first half was like 30, I think, total was all that he had thrown up. And, I mean, there was a good chunk. No, a lot of it came on the last several pass attempts. There was a point where I think his first 12 pass attempts the first half, he was at -1 air yards collectively.
Averaged a career low 3.7 air yards per attempt on his 24 attempts against Atlanta. 3.4.
It's a combination of 3 things that are all bad. Your wide receivers aren't getting separation. Your offensive line isn't playing very well. And your quarterback doesn't have very good pocket awareness, even after all these years. That sack he took when he had the ball for 6 seconds, and I was like, throw it away then. You can't do anything.
We've somehow managed to get 5 different answers on this today, which tells you how bad. This doesn't feel like the worst loss of the year, but normally this would be like an A or B multiple choice, but we've gotten 5 different answers. Corey, your biggest head-shaking moment from yesterday's game was what?
The fake punt.
Okay.
That just screamed desperation, and I mean, they are a desperate team right now. But that was the entire season in one play.
What was yours?
The relentless pressure that the terrible Atlanta Falcons got on this game.
Yeah, because
came in with 6 sacks
all week. That's all you talked about was they can't get to the quarterback.
They're the worst in the league at it, and we were like, go ahead.
Our offensive line, hold the beers.
They were terrible.
Guys, we got you.
And they had back-to-back sacks.
Yeah, I don't know the last time Atlanta got back-to-back sacks in a game, period.
One was on Dak,
yeah,
one was
but
not.
But still. Regardless.
The offensive line played terrible yesterday.
I'm scared to ask you.
Mine was when Mike McCarthy broke the iPad. That was the best. I was like,
you know, what do you think of his form on that one? Because he went with the two-handed slam on the two-handed spike.
I love that.
It was awesome.
Does the two-handed spike have far more like vitriol and anger to it than the single hand?
I will say this. I don't know if they capture this on television during football games. I do know behind the scenes, I don't know the number. There are quite a few iPads broken during a baseball season. It's just not in the dugout. I think they, I don't, because if it is, we never capture it on television. I don't know how many iPads are broken. I don't know they're called whatever, tablets or whatever, during a football game. But I do know that those iPads that are in the dugout, they have to replace those quite a bit on major league teams because guys look at them, see that they had a bad at-bat or the umpire made a bad call on them, and they just smash it.
Speaking of baseball, why did the Atlanta Falcons call us Yankee fans?
I thought that was a great – Choppy and I really appreciated that. You seemed to think it was a bit of a stretch. They posted the score from the Cowboys games, the Falcons Twitter account did, and then they posted a Yankee fan rubbing his face, and it said, bad week for Yankees fans.
Because the idea
doesn't
is
get
that
it either.
I don't like, understand.
Yankees, Cowboys, Lakers fans, they're all generic ass, like, oh, I'm
they're
a front
all,
runner cheering
not
for
really
everybody.
Fans.
So,
like Duke. Yeah, Duke throwing a Duke in there. This is like
so. Dallas losing to the Falcons would add to the bad week for a Yankees fan because a Yankees fan is going to be a Cowboys fan and a Lakers fan.
Okay, I did not understand that at the time. Yeah, but that makes sense.
I mean, they're not talking to people in the city, right? They're talking to people who live in like Iowa that root for the Cowboys and the Yankees and the Lakers.
That's a layered shot there.
It really is.
It's next
I appreciate
level. It's definitely
the,
next level.
What's the hockey team?
I appreciate that.
Oh, that's a
Red Wings.
Oh,
is it the Avalanche?
Yeah. Red Wings, maybe, yeah. Montreal.
Speaking of baseball, I saved this for you, Michael, and you, Bobby,
uh-oh,
since you go after my boy Shohei, who needs a translator for everything.
Does he?
And this is kind of connected.
That dog's name.
Right? Yankees, Dodgers celebration parade over the past few days as they burned down Los Angeles. Shohei apparently, maybe he doesn't just need a translator for everything.
What? This is so special moment for me. I'm so honored to be here and to be part of this team. Congratulations, Los Angeles. Thank you, fans.
The fraud continues, Bob.
But if it's a prepared statement, can't you, like, plan for that?
Did he say also, I'm not giving any of my money to this state or this city because I made sure that I will not get paid much money while I play in the state of California?
Yeah.
I remember when Darvish did this, and I was like, wait, Darvish knows English?
You Darvish. I mean, you Darvish does, but yeah, from what I understand, too, Shohei's fine with English.
I mean, Shohei was hitting on Cameron Brink in the Dodgers clubhouse back in May,
but
of all the people to waste that secret on, Cameron Brink is
she's wonderful.
Really?
What's
I think she's pretty.
Something about Mary.
That's her.
But the biggest dagger was Kike Hernandez during the New York entertainment.
Then we go to New York, and this guy. He used to be fat. He's not fat anymore. His name is Joe. He came out and sang. And guess what? We didn't even need to play because after that performance, we had already won.
Fat Joe Slander.
Oh, Fat Joe.
Going to Fat Joe.
Woo. Still nowhere near as good as Seager last year and watching Jared jump 12 feet in the air, right?
And clap like in the eye. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yes. All right, boys. That's all I got.
It was a good run, man.
Thank you.
How much did you guys talk about Dak on the sidelines saying we effing suck?
We talked about it.
Well, since that was Sean's video.
Yeah, that's right. Did you have a problem with it?
No.
I
don't think he's wrong.
I kind of wish he'd tell the truth like that on the podium.
I wonder who would have it. How soft do you have to be to have a problem with Dak saying we
Well, people are like, bad look, that's the leader. You shouldn't be saying that. What's that?
I said, I can think of one guy.
That has a problem with it?
No, he said, how soft do you have to be that you would have a problem with that? And I was like, I can think of one guy who's that soft. Oh. So.
And who are we talking about?
I don't know either.
He's probably in Dak's ear pretty frequently.
Oh, McCarthy. Oh.
Let's put it like that. No names!
Is this, this is a serious question for Bobby. It's going to sound weird, but are you happy Dak got hurt so he doesn't have to play this year and it would hurt his he's probably not going to play, I'm going to guess, till after Thanksgiving with the hamstring injury.
Oh,
that's my guess.
I don't think he's playing the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that would put you around that time. I mean,
2 weeks and then the third week.
Are you happy for him that he doesn't have to play?
No, honestly,
it hurts his. Every time he goes out on the field this year, it hurts his reputation.
Well, I told Sean and RJ this when we came back from Cleveland. He got the deal done over the weekend. When we came back from Cleveland, I think the first thing I said when I walked in was like, I don't care. Like, I mean, he could play as sour as he wants. He's here for 4 years. I don't care what the narratives are now. He's here. He's locked in for well, 4 years. I believe in him, so I don't mind if it goes if he has a poor year this year because well, it's like it's not going to impact anything. I already know who he is as a player, so it doesn't bug me.
What a that's the stupidest thing you've ever said. Oh, no.
It's insane. What happens if
you like, keep
so
a list?
What would be worse? Dak playing and losing, or Cooper Rush playing and winning?
Oh,
Cooper Rush playing and winning because he went 4-1.
That's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're
going to
win like 3 in a row with Cooper Rush.
You picked, team no, is you not, picked the Cowboys this weekend.
Well, I know.
That was a bad call. You just came up with a football question a for me tomorrow.
That's a great question.
That is a good question.
I'll be honest here. I do think there's separation between Dak and Cooper Rush. I just don't know how big of a separation there is.
I think right now, and I'm not saying this is a troll, I'm not going to have Cooper Rush start my games over Dak Prescott for a full season. But yesterday, I don't think the offense is going to be that much worse for like a week or two with the way it's been going. In some type of life, inject something in it. The two deep throws could have been completed. They're not even attempting to throw deep for some reason with Dak. It can't get worse. It can't be as pathetic.
Isn't it amazing?
I know, or that much more
I'm
worse.
I'm with you on that. Isn't it amazing that you think people are in good shape when they're not in good shape? Wouldn't you think 5'7", 155 pounds, and can really fly would be a person who would be in shape?
Yeah.
He's the least in shape. Turpin's the least in shape person on the whole team.
Greg Olsen was getting on him for that.
It was horrible. I can't believe it. Just goes to show you, sometimes you look at a kind of a fatty guy or whatever, and you're like, oh, he's not in shape. Huh. But you're like, no, he can actually run forever. He can he's not eating well, but he's in great conditioning shape.
Yeah.
Then you look at Turpin, you're like, well, what would be holding him back? He's so light, you know, he's very little, he runs fast. He can't run 50 yards and then take a 20-second break and do it again. He needs like a 2-minute break in between his sprints because he's so out of shape.
See? And y'all blame Anthony Richardson. Everyone needs a break. Everyone needs a little rest.
I mean, I blame the GPS because these guys have figured out how to cheat the system on the GPS, and so they're not really as in great a shape as we think.
Oh. The last, before Bobby just made his Dak statement, the last opinion I really disagree with before that was you having Cowboy playoff hope. And you said that last week or maybe a week and a half ago. Yeah. Are you done? I told you it was over.
You did.
I told you done and finished. It's you been did. Done. Are you out?
Come on.
Come on, Kev.
I don't see how they can get it done now. Like,
wait, was this your breaking point?
When the
Falcon game was your breaking point?
It's not just the losses. It's just the added injuries and, like, nobody coming back already this weekend. Yeah, no, I'm with you. You were right before, but I just wanted to believe and
cash that last Jerry paycheck.
Yeah, just wait until tomorrow. After tomorrow when all the trades get made. Why don't you be patient a little bit, guys? Once we make all these trades, the team turns around real fast.
Do you think by the end of the day tomorrow, we'll know who the next president is?
No, we won't know until December.
We already know who the next president's going to be. Okay.
I know that everybody listening who's depressed about the Cowboys will be super excited come March and say it was the injuries. This is a championship team. And that's the great thing Jerry knows is he has to go through about a month to 3 months here of down and depressed Cowboy fans, but it doesn't matter. They will all think they're winning the championship in March.
They did. To their credit, I'll give them credit for this, Cowboys. They didn't do it this past offseason. This past offseason, they held pretty firm that this was a bad team, I feel like.
Jerry Jones tomorrow at 8:30. Another big day as well.
It's a huge day tomorrow, okay? We're gonna make America great again, folks, okay? We're gonna be great. It's going to be a wonderful place. Just like
they're eating the dog.
I'm such a wonderful guy.
Don't miss tomorrow's show. I wouldn't. The KMC Masterpiece is next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.